It was third, the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Mishnah says, Zeba b'chavito, v'zeba b'korato. You have two people walking, one's carrying a barrel, one's carrying a beam. Nishpa kadosh zeh, b'korato zeh, patur. If they somehow have an altercation, an accident, a mishap, where the korah bumps into the chavit and breaks it, then they patur. Why? Because l'zeh reshut ha'alech, l'zeh reshut ha'alech. They both have permission to be there. No one's acting out of bounds, and therefore the bala korah is patur when it breaks the bala chavit. Haya bala korah rishon u'bala chavit acharon. On the other hand, if the person walking with the beam was first, and behind him was walking the bala chavit, nishpro chavit b'korah patur. Again, if the chavit breaks by bumping into the korah, then we will say it's patur because the bala korah did not do anything wrong. And therefore, when the chavit breaks, it's the responsibility of the one carrying the chavit. On the other hand, matur bala korah, the imamad bala korah, on the other hand, if the bala korah stops, this is what we quoted yesterday, in yesterday's daf we were discussing, bala korah stops, over here we said lafush, right, to rest, chayav. In that instance, he's going to be chayav. Bim armar la bala chavit amod patur. If he warns the bala chavit behind him to stop, then he's patur because he's done what he needed to do, even though lafush was not normal. By warning the bala chavit, that was sufficient. Aya bala chavit rishon u'bala korah acharon. On the other hand, if the bala chavit was walking first and the bala korah acharon was after him, nishpro chavit b'korah chayav. If the right chavit breaks by the korah chayav, that's because the person behind the bala korah is going too fast, bumps into the chavit in front of him. Then we're going to hold them accountable for that. Vim amad bala chavit. On the other hand, if the bala chavit is the one who acts out of the ordinary and stops in the Rishut Rabim, then the Bala Korah is Patur because he shouldn't have expected the Bala Chavit to stop. The Marma, the Bala Korah mode, again, if the Bala Chavit warns the Bala Korah is behind him, then Chayav, because he did what was incumbent upon him to do when he stopped in Rishut Rabim, which was to warn the person behind him. The same thing would be applicable if someone was coming with his candle, his flame, and the other person has the Bishtan, the fuel, and the altercation or mishap leads to the pishtan being burnt up. Now, boy mine rabba barnata mi rabhunu. Said a question. Mazikat ishto v'tashmisha mita'amahu. Someone who injures his wife while they are having marital relations, what's the din? Kevan de birshut ka'avid patur. Since he's doing it, or since he has a right to act in such a manner or to be there, then he's patur, just like we saw in our Mishnah, which is, if you both have permission to be there, then you are patur. Or maybe he should have been more careful. I mean, even though he has permission, maybe he should have been more careful in this instance.
What's the difference if someone's wife is sick,
he has to...
So you're right, it's supposed to be... He has to do that. Even if he doesn't, he's still... In the context of his wife, he has to take care of her.
So the Muka Yosef actually asks your question, and he discusses, first of all, he discusses an issue from Ksubos, how much of the Nezek that is really Chayav over here, based on Epsak of Yehuda ben Metera, that only is Chayav for two-thirds of the Nezek, not for the full Nezek. Then when it comes to the other meal, in the Dal Dvarim, that's what the Muka Yosef writes, Ulini and Dal Dvarim, Ripui, Medina de Ishut, Mechayav Lasuye. When it comes to Ripui and doctor bills, that's an obligation of the marriage. So, of course, he's going to have to do refuah, as you suggested. Kosh Kain Shehazaka. Of course, a case where he damaged her, he's certainly going to have to do it. Ew, Shevet uboshet leka. When it comes to boshet and shevet, there is none. Why? T'chol agabi tashmit d'baal leka boshet. First of all, when it's the husband that's having bia with her, there's no boshet. So, therefore, there's no issue of boshet. Shevet. Demasiya deha. Now, you're going to talk about the fact that she's going to lose, she's going to be unemployment or inability to work. That's masiya daim, and the masiya deha didainin who belong to him. So that any her being batel from doing work, that's his loss, not really her loss. And tsar lo yada de mitzar lo. In the case of tsar, you don't think you have to pay her because he didn't know that he was causing her pain. That wasn't his intention. Plus, he didn't think or didn't know or didn't try to cause her any pain. It's like he would try to throw something two and ended up throwing a four. This was not his intention. This was not what he intended for. So therefore, according to the Muka Yosef, when it comes to the other of the Arba Dvarim, outside of Nezek, then Ripoy is going to be applicable because it belongs to the marriage. The other three of Boshet, Shevet, and tzar are not going to be applicable. And with regards to nezek, he's going to pay two-thirds of the nezek because that's a din from Yehuda ben Teira and the Gemara in Ketubot. Now, with regards to the money that he actually gives her, since she can't have independent ownership, what he actually has to do now is purchase property with that money that he's giving her, and then he'll eat the peirot of that property, and they will become like nechsei maluk for her.
So, amelei, can you do it? We have our Mishnah. Shulazer shud alech. Shulazer shud alech. That our Mishnah is where they both have permission to be in that situation or be in that place. It's just that this is similar to our Mishnah, but amarava kavachomer. Wait, it's a kavachom. Mar yar. We're talking about a forest. This is a case of shogeg where you go into galus in a yar. Shezel rishuto nichnas. Shezel rishuto nichnas. It's a public forest, and both of them have rights to go into the forest to work. Nase, when a person does something in this forest that causes injury to the other individual or actually kills him, goes into galus. Nase kamish nichnas rishut chavero. We apply or we assign to him as if he's come into his friend's property, not into his own property. B'chayav. Right, so in our instance, where it's clear the husband is entering the space of his wife, that certainly he should be held culpable or accountable in this instance. In our case, in the Mishnah, right, it's hatam tervayu kada deinehu. They both have equal rights and are taking equal action in the Rishut Rabin. And therefore they're patur. The reason you're patur is because nobody's acting any different than his friends. They both have permission to be there, plus they're both acting. In our instance, that's not true. The man is taking action, whereas the woman is passive in this case. Doesn't the pasuk say, right, those that, when I know effort, right, this is a adultery, case of adultery, that both of them are put to death because these are nefashot ha'osot. They both are doing something here. So Mara says, no. When it comes to pleasure, benefit from those relations, that applies or is applicable to both of them. On the other hand, when it comes to action or taking action or considered a real ma'aseh, that is only assigned to the male, to the man. Right, so now this Mara has implications, not just here. Tosus points out that when it comes to malchus or chatos, we apply it as if there was the hanoah is a ma'aseh, because the fact that the Torah formulates hanifashot ha'alzot, and it formulates hanoah as an asiyah, therefore we still give malchus and achatos for that asiyah, even though the woman is technically passive in this case. Right. Although the one exception comes to the Gemara in Sanhedrin at the end of Perek Ben Tzur Omer, talks about the need to be give up one's life for the three cardinal sins, which is Yeharag Be'al Yavor. And the Gemara has a question when it comes to Arayot, whether a woman is obligated to be Yeharag Be'al Yavor, because Gemara Forma says Karka Olami, right, that she is a passive participant, and therefore maybe she is not required. It's one of the answers that the Gemara gives for why Esther did not have to give up her life. It's because she's Karka Olam. So we see that even within Easter Beheser, that passivity, right, still has implications in terms of Yeharag of Yehavor, because the Yeharag of Yehavor only applies to active Maasim and not to passive Maasim. Right. No, it's there, because there, that is exactly the Easter of Yeharag of Yehavor, is only Maasim, it's only through action. In Tosus over there, points out, Tosus, that the, for instance, when it comes to killing, if you take or you extend what we learned over here, that means that if a person, right, is asked to kill another individual, then he has to give up his life rather than kill the other individual. On the other hand, if they say to the individual, either you do this, right, or we will throw you onto a baby, in that instance, you may not have an obligation of your Yehavah Yavor, because your killing of the baby, even though it's a result of your decision, is not a result of your action. Because they're throwing, if you want, to the baby, that is causing the death of the baby. So again, that application has broader implications in Yerag Yavor, not just to Arayot, but even to all aspects of Yerag Yavor, that we need active, right, violation of the Isur in order to be held to the standard of Yerag Yavor. Right, then when it comes to punishment, it comes to its willful participation can be the determining factor, whereas by Yerag Yavor, it's activity that will be the determining factor. Hayav Bal Korah Rishon. Right, what happens to the Bal Korah Rishon? So this is Amar Reish Lakish. Shtei parot rishut rabim. So we've seen this page like this before. Two parot rishut rabim. Achat ruvutza, achat me'alechet. One of them is crouched down, one of them is walking. Ba'ata me'alechet beruvutza, p'tura. If the walking one kicks the crouched one, then you are p'tura. Why? Because it's kol m'shaneh, right? In rishut rabim, u'ba'acher shina. Anybody who does something unusual and then another unusual act, the two unusual acts will cancel each other out in a sense and you'll be patur. Rubutzab in Malachat, on the other hand, if the one who's crouched down kicks the Malachat, Chayevet, because there was only one change here, which is the Biyut. On the other hand, the Malachat was doing what it was supposed to be doing. So Mar says, Leimam is Sayele. Let it say that our mission is to support this position of Reish Lakish. Hayah Bal Korah Rishon, right? The Bal Korah was first. Ubal Chavit Achoron was after him. Nishra Chavit Bekorah Patur. If the Chavit hits the Korah, right, then he is Patur. Va'im Amad Bal Korah, whereas if the Bal Korah stops, suddenly, then he is chayav. So v'ha'haka. So this is equivalent to a case of the revutza b'malachet dami. It's a case of the equivalent of the case of the revutza who does something strange, right? Doing something strange, and then he kicks the mehalachet that he is tani chayav, and he is chayav. In our Mishnah, what are we saying? We're saying that when the balakurat stops, he did something unusual, and he causes damage to the balakavit, he is still responsible. So even though he's doing something unusual, he's responsible for his actions. Mezah says, "Tisbra, hatziayi baya." He says, "You're thinking that this is the support for this. Lo mitzayit, lo mitzayit. Not enough that it doesn't help it. Ela makshe namikasho. It actually is a problem for Reish Lakish mission. Why is that? Time was debata. The reason that he is chayavir is because he kicked hachuska memela patur. On the other hand, if it gets damaged willy nilly, right? Meaning that if it's Malachit gets hurt by the Ruhutza, he would be Patur. V'hamas nits in our mission is the case of the Memela. That happens in Memela, with Tani Chayav. And nevertheless, he is considered Chayav. Meaning that in the case of the Ruhutza with the Mehalechit, right, if the Ruhutza was simply crouched down there, and then the Malachit comes by and somehow gets hurt by the Ruhutza just sitting there, then the Ruhutza is not Chayav. He is Patur in that case. Whereas, if the Ruvutza kicks out, he is going to be, right, Chayav. In our case, the equivalent is when the Balakurat stops, right? In that case, it's the equivalent of the Ruvutza just plopping down in the middle of the Rishut Rabim. And when he plops down the Rishut Rabim, he's Patur. And our, according to Reish Lakish, when the Ruvutza just lays there in the, right, in the Rishut Rabim, and then you trip over, or something happens, you get hurt, Mamelo, without him kicking out, he's Patur. That's the opposite. I mean, our mission is concluding the opposite of what Reish Lakish is concluding over here. Alright, so now the Gemara says, no, we have to differentiate between the cases. Matnitan, the paska, the orcha, kishilda. Again, this is like we said something similar yesterday, right? That the korah is stretching across the whole Rishut Rabim. Hapas, on the rabba, b'chad gitza. Right, so over here, the case where he's crouched down on one side of the Rishut Rabim. He can walk around. He has opportunity to circumvent the sure, that is Rivuta, or the parah that's Rivuta. The differentiation here between the Mishnah and Reish Lakish, in order to not be a question, that the case is actually different. The case in our Mishnah is a case where the Balakavit has no other alternative. Because the Balakurah is taking up the entire space of the Rishut Rabim, therefore when he stops short, the Balakavit has no other alternative, and when his Kavit breaks, the Balakurah is going to be responsible. On the other hand, when it comes to the parot, when a parot is Rivuta, we say, what? If the other side of the Rishut Rabim was open, why don't you take the alternative route? The fact that you got hurt here by bumping into me now means that you chose to go this way despite the fact that you saw that the parah was revutza. Now, Tosus points out here, wait a minute. Yesterday we had a Mishnah that we discussed and prices that we discussed where you have all these people carrying chaviot. The first one falls down and then the second one falls on him and then the third one falls on him. And there we don't say that the balakavit has to be stretched across the whole Rishut Rabim in order for him to be responsible. Why don't we say the same thing we say here? That when the first balakavit fell down, the second guy should have walked around him. Why don't we say, there's room for him to go the other place, why am I responsible for you tripping over me now when you could have gone around? Just like we say by the parot over here. The parot rubutza, right, is there, why can't I say you should go around me? Tosfos suggesting is exactly what Tosfos answered. So look at Tosfos at the Rami of Kishulda. Says Im Tomar Halo Biktarim Mechayev Leel Kishenitchal Hasheni Berishon. Right over there we had where he tripped over the first thing. I tripped over the first guy. We don't demand of him to walk around. Keep that in mind. Yesh lomar, kishnofal ein ro'ehu. Exactly what you said, didn't you? There's a difference. When the first guy falls, right, you shouldn't have anticipated the fall in front of you, and therefore you can't say to him, walk around. Right? Below Mat Yamala, you buy luckless Gui Bidam Kisa. On the other hand, over here, where the Parah is already Ruhutza, that means as you approach, you can already tell that there's somebody in the way and that you should have taken the alternative route. Exactly as Scholz articulated the distinction between something sudden that you didn't have the ability to adjust to, versus over here, where you have the ability to adjust because you see the Takala, you see the problem in front of you. So that would differentiate between whether you need to have Kishilda in order to be Chaya versus if, right, when we say you must walk around versus if. Case where we say there was an opportunity for you to adjust, and you didn't adjust. It was Tosus, the first Tosus here points out, that we said, if Amad Balakorah Chayat, if the Balakorah stops, that you are Chayat. Now what's the question here? Now, our Mishnah, we just set up our Mishnah, that it's the case, the Mukid Rami Lakor Kishilda, it was a case where he's blocking the whole road. Right, so Aval, Ilo Rami Kishilda, if he's not stretching across the road, Patur. Then he'll be Patur. Zibaylei Balakavit, Shiramach Amad Balakorah, this Guya Bi Idach Kisa, they should lose up. It suggests from this that if he didn't stretch out across the whole road, right, then the Balakavit should have walked around. So then, why is it again, Tosus pointing out again, why is it over here that we say when he stops short that you should have walked around if he doesn't stretch across? And then he says the second half of that Mishnah, what's the second half of the Mishnah is when the Balakavit is first. When the Balakavit is first, and then he stops short and the Balakorah hits him, the Balakorah is Patur, right, in that case, because the Balakavit stopped short. And then we don't over there say to him, you should have walked around. It's clear that the Balakavit is not Kishilda. When you're talking about a Korah, you can talk about him stretching across the whole street. When you're talking about Balakavit, he has limited space there. So why don't we say that the Balakorah has to circumvent, you know, in that case? Because that's what's implied from this. Implied from this is the only time you're Chayav, if he stretched across the whole Rishut Rabbim. So Tosfos over here suggests that a Chiddush. There's veneer of the reed. I'll just read it to you. Veneer of the reed. It's about the center of the narrow lines of the Tosfos. After the L, the Tosfos came out. It says veneer of the reed. The orcha de miltahu kishohokhin. It's normal when people are walking. Balakavit abakvah zechazed. The ain achron yacholai ain beltosho lechafanav kol sha'a. The guy behind him can't keep track of the person in front of him all the time. Lekach. This is very interesting. Kilo havya kora kishilda. That when the kora does not stretch across the over shidabim, yesh lachron alechet. That when you know there's a balak, somebody in front of you who is not stretching across the whole Rishut Rabim, then we demand of you to move over to the other side when you're walking behind him, because you are not going to be able to judge his every movement. We know that. We know that you're not going to be able to judge when he stops, doesn't stop, and therefore we tell you, please step over to the other side. Today, Shlo Yazik, Oshlo Yuzak, so that you will not cause damage or be damaged. By the first one stopping short. And therefore, when he does stop short and you have an alternative route, we say to you, you're responsible. You have the ability to avoid this problem. And since you didn't take those precautions, you're going to be either, you know, you're going to be culpable or you're going to be patur, or the other person is going to be patur for the damage done to you. When you stretch across the entire Rishut Rabim, right, then you don't have any other alternative now. Because, like I said, you should have walked on the other side, it wouldn't have made a difference. No matter where the Baal Torah stops, it's going to affect the entire Rishut Rabim. Benchu Balakorah, Benchu Balakavit. This is very interesting. Whether he is the Balakorah, whether he's the Benakavit. Lakach, Ein Pusheya, Elakarishon Amad. The first one stops short. Umayr Matisim, Ben Reisha, Ben Sefesh, Akorah Kishilda. The cases there are both the cases where it stretched across the entire Rishut Rabim. So again, if in the case where the guy with the Korah is first, right, then we say if he stretches across all Rishut Rabim and he stops short, then we hold him accountable for what happens behind him because nobody had an alternative. Other than if he doesn't take up the whole space of the Rishut Rabim, right, then we say to the guy behind him, look, you had alternatives, you didn't take the alternatives, then you accepted the risk that this guy might stop short and then damage your Chavit, and then he's going to be Fador in that case. What happens in the reverse? The reverse case where the Baal Chavit is first and the Baal HaKorah is behind him, now the Baal HaKorah stops short and the Baal HaKorah hits him. Now, the question is, what is the state of the Balakorah? If the case where the Balakorah stretches across the entire Rishut Rabim behind him, right, then the Balakorah is patur. Why? Because we can't tell him he should have done something else. His only alternative is to walk where he was, and he takes up the entire Rishut Rabim. So then when the Balakavit stops short in front of him, and the Balakavit stops short in front of him, he's patur for the damage he does to the Balakavit, because the Balakavit has to realize that when somebody is stretching across the Rishut Rabim, we can't demand of him to do something else. On the other hand, if the Baal Torah behind him does not take up the whole Rishut Rabbim, the Baal Torah behind him does not take up the whole Rishut Rabbim, and the Baal Chavit stops short, then we will hold the Baal Torah responsible. Why? Because then we can say the Baal Torah, you should have walked on the other side of the street. The fact that you didn't walk on the other side of the street is now going to make you accountable for bumping into the Baal Chavit that is in front of you. So the only time that you will be patur, the Baal Torah, when he's behind him, is when he has no alternative. And again, only time that the Baal Chavit, you'll be chayav for damage that you did, was when you offered him no alternative to get around. Just to summarize the Tosa, Tosa says that again, the responsibility is on the one who has the alternatives, when there are alternatives. When there are no alternatives, then the responsibility will be with the one in front, who stops short because he's the one who caused the problem. On the other hand, again, the differentiation that you formulated also before, Shaul, is the differentiation about how much reaction time do you have. I mean, this all assumes that things are normal, should there have been, before you had time to react, whereas if the guy trips, right, and there was no time to react, then even when there are alternatives, we don't hold you accountable because you couldn't have anticipated that which happened. So Ella say for the Matisim is the Rish Lakish, but rather the second half of the Mishnah is to support the Rish Lakish. Why? The Dani Hayab Baal Chavit Rishon is the Baal Chavit is first. U Baal Korah Karon, and the Baal Korah is after him, right? Nishpura Chavit Bikorah Chayav. Right? If the Chavit is broken by the Korah, he is Chayav, because the Baal Korah has to take precaution not to walk so fast to bump into the guy in front of him. You're my Baal Chavit Patur, whereas if the Baal Chavit stops short, then he is the Baal Korah Patur. And that was just what we went through in Tosfos. Tosfos thinks that's only Kishil Da again. Our case over here is a case where it's Mihalechet, the person who is the walking person, right, that is the Baal Korah, bumping into the Rebutza, Vikpani Patur. Right, and then he says he's patur. Because in our case, what happens when the mehalechet goes along and then kicks the rivuta, we said that the mehalechet is patur. Also over here, where the balakavit stops short in Rishut Rabbim, he's equivalent to rivuta, he's doing something unusual. So then when the balakura bumps into him, right, then he is also patur. So that supports Rish Lakish's position. Right, says, what are you talking about? They're not the same cases. Matisen, kichiorke kamaske. In the case of our Mishnah, there's only one shinoi. What's the shinoi? The Baal Chavit stops short. The Baal Korah is walking in his normal manner, and he ends up doing damage. And there is patur. Hakav, by the case of Rish Lakish, Armalei, Nehid, Izach, Rushut, Lizguye, Eli. Right, the one who's bending down, right, this is actually the one that Rabbi Yochanan could say. The Gemara suggested this as a, why Rabbi Yochanan didn't have to agree with Rish Lakish. It's because of this. The one who's on the ground can say, listen, I was wrong for being lying on the ground or for crouching down the ground in Rishut Rabbim. So that entitles you to do damage to me if you're doing things normally, if you're walking normally in Rishut Rabbim. But on the other hand, the Ku'utebi, Eslach Rishuta, since when do you have a right to come out and kick me? Whether it's that other Shinoi, I mean, maybe you should be held accountable where you kick me. And therefore, from our Mishnah, we cannot draw or derive the position of Rish Lakish. Our Mishnah only says if there's one Shinoi, and the other person acting normally, that he won't be held accountable. It does not say if the guy behind him also does something unusual, that we're going to say, oh, he's also a butor. Maybe in that case he should be chayav, because, again, you have permission to damage me if you keep acting normally. But if you do something shinui, that's the difference. Rish Lakish says when you have two shinuiim, they cancel out, and you're butor. When you have Rabbi Yochanan and Gemara, we suggest in the Chavdalid was that maybe because of that additional shinui, that you lose your entitlement to damage the person there, because if you're doing normal action and he does something unusual, you're patur. On the other hand, if you struck through something, he says, you don't have permission to come and kick me just because I'm lying on the ground. You have permission to walk on me, not to kick me. Right, next Mishnah. Shnayim, shayu ma'alchim b'shut rabim. Two people walking b'shut rabim. Echad rat, echad ma'alich. One of them is running, one of them is walking. O shayu shnehem ratim. Or both of them are running. The girsi here probably should be the grub pointed out, the bach pointed out here, Tosfos pointed out here should be vihuzku, zed zed. And they damaged, this is damaged in an unintentional manner, not hizik that they did damage others, but huzku, because of some sort of, again, mishap, accident that happened to him. Hidim shnehem, two rim. Both of them are
plus two. Three scenarios or two scenarios?
Two scenarios. Two scenarios. One is one running, one walking.
Three scenarios. The two of them are walking, or one of them is running, one is walking, or two of them are running.
Right, I think, but the Shnayim Shayu Machalkim Mishud Rabim is a header, it's a klal. And then the cases are Echad Rat, Echad Malek, O Shnayim Rasim. So that's like, you know, it's colon. After Shnayim, that there are two people walking Mishud Rabim, colon, one run, one walking. The Gemara is going to ask the question, basically. One of them running and one of them walking is okay, then why is two of them running any worse? I mean, that the mission is giving you a case that should have been obvious from one of the other cases here. So Matnitan, our mission is below to the Aisi bin Yehuda. Our mission is not going to be, what is that? The Tani, Aisi bin Yehuda, Omer Rat Chayav. The Rat, the one who's running, is Chayav, Mipnei Shehu Mishuneh. Because he's doing something out of the ordinary. I mean, running in Rishut Rabim is not your entitlement. You have a right to walk in the Rishut Rabim. You do not have a right to run in the Rishut Rabim. Umoda Aisi Be'erim Shabbos, Benesh Mashot. Aisi bin Yehuda agrees that when it's coming close to Shabbos, you patur, Mipnei Shehu Rat Rishut. Because when you get close to Shabbat, there's an entitlement for there's an accepted social contract that when you get close to the Shabbat, that there's an expectation people will be running to get there for Shabbat and trying to accomplish the last minute thing, and therefore he'll be patur because you have a shoot in that instance to make way in the Rishut Rabbim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Alochi Keisa Ben Yehuda. Alochi is like Isa Ben Yehuda. That you have entitlement to run when it's Benesh Mashot on Erev Shabbat, but when it's a regular day, you do not have entitlement. Smart says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halachik." Can Rabbi Yochanan really pass in like Isi ben Yehuda? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan believes in general, the general principle. Rabbi Yochanan Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah, and guess who is our Stam Mishnah here? The Mishnah we just read. Mishnah, our Mishnah says, "Echad Rat Echad Malei Choshem Ayu Ratim Ptureim." So Gemara says that, what are you talking about? Gemara says, if you have Rabbi Yochanan passing like a Stam Mishnah, our Stam Mishnah is against Isi ben Yehuda because our Mishnah says you're patur when you're running Rishut Rabim. And Yisi ben Yehuda says, you're chayav. So how can Rabbi Yochanan pass them like Yisi ben Yehuda and pass them like the Stam Mishnah? Where it says, no problem. Matnitan, Be'er Shabbat, Benesh Mashmot. Our Mishnah is, right, a case which can now be in sync with Yisi ben Yehuda, which is that the Mishnah is a case of Erev Shabbat, and everybody's patur because you have permission to run an Erev Shabbat. Where it says, Mimai. How do you know that the case in that Mishnah is a case where it's Erev Shabbat? Miktani, because it says in our Mishnah, Oshnehem Ayu Rasim Turim. That when both of them are running, you're patur. Vatu gomali. Why do I need that second case? Hashta echad rat vechad malei patur. In a case when one is running and one is walking, you're patur, and only one of them is doing the running, then shneim ratzim mipoi. You have to come into a case where both of them are running, you're patur. It's obvious that they should be patur in that case. Elohim kamar. This is how to read our Mishnah. Echad rat vechad malei patur. When one is running and one is walking, they're patur. Bamed vayim amurim. What is that? Be'er Shabbos benesh mashot. Aval b'chol, when it comes to a weekday, echad rat, echad malech, chayav, like Isi ben Yehuda. Shnehem ratim, even according to Isi ben Yehuda, both of them are running, afilu b'chol p'turim, because they're both as negligent as the other, meaning that you both that don't have permission to be running. If they both are running, then they are both p'turim, because they both did something out of the ordinary. Amar mar, Samara says, umoda Isi ben Yehuda, ver shahaz ben shematot, shu patur. The assumption of the Gemara over here, or the statement of the Gemara, was that Isi ben Yehuda would agree on Erev Shabbat that you are patur. Mipnei shirat birshut, because he's running with permission. Be'erev Shabbat my birshut ika. What is that permission? I mean, what right do you have to run on Erev Shabbat? Because Rabbi Chanina, it's like Rabbi Chanina, the Amar Rabbi Chanina, that bo'u neveitei likrat kala malkuta. One has to go out to run out to go greet the Shabbat. Kala Malkuta, right? The bride, the queen, and as Rashi formulates over here, Bovene say, Kadam Hamakabil Pnei Melech. A person that goes runs to go out to see the king. But the king's coming, here the king's coming, Everybody runs out to go greet the king and to see the king. So that same demand is on the person who's coming to greet the Shabbat. He's running out to greet the Shabbat. He can run. He has permission to run like he would run for a king. Ve'amri law, there's some that say, Likrat Shabbat Kala Malkuta. And that's, over here, not Likrat Kala Malkuta, but Likrat Shabbat. Right, Kala Malkuta. They go down to greet the Shabbat. What is the Kala Malkuta? Rabbi Yanai tells us, Mitatef, he used to wrap himself up, Bikoi, and stand there, Vamar, Boi Kala, Boi Kala. Come, my bride, come, my bride. So now the difference over here, these different actions over here, might be the different demands on a person to greet the Shabbat. How one must greet the Shabbos might be determined by the differences over here. When one greets the Shabbos, they simply have to, right, say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala, and that is sufficient. Or does one have to be, Boi Nimine Sei, or Likrat Shabbat Chala, Hakata, right? That one has to go out, take a physical action, make movement towards greeting the Shabbos. And therefore, it's not sufficient just to say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala, but one must take a step or an action to indicate that they are greeting the Shabbos and moving towards the Shabbos Kalam al Kitab. And I think the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam passes that way, that one must take physical action, make a move to show that they are greeting their Kalam Shabbos al Kitab. And that is, many, when we do in the Chazazit, at the end of Ba'ez Shalom, we say, we turn around, right? And many, some people even take a step forward, and they go say, we say, Bo'ichala. Then not only do we make a statement to greet the Shabbat, but we make a, take a physical action, we make a movement to show that we're going to greet the Shabbat. Malkatan, this comes from our Gemara here, about the idea that when they say that you want to have to go out, they're running out like to greet the king. Right now, next Mishnah. Hamivakeya b'shut rabim, someone who is chopping wood in Rishut Rabim, is zik b'shut yachid, the damage in Rishut Yachid. Rishut Yachid is chopping wood in Rishut Yachid, is zik b'shut rabim, or he does damage in Rishut Rabim, or b'shut yachid, and he's own property, is zik b'shut yachid acher, and he damages someone in another property, chayav. In all of these cases, he's chayav, is responsible for the, when he's splitting the wood, he's responsible for the damage caused by his splitting of the wood. V'tzricha, why do I need all these three cases? D'itana, mevakei Rishut Yachid, is zik b'shut rabim. If you had just told me about a case where he's cutting in Rishut Yachid and it's going out into Rishut Rabim, Shum Deshchichei Rabim. He should have been aware because there are tons of people out there. He should have been, you know, at least Mudala Devar, he should have had some precaution that there's so many people walking out there that something could go flying out into Rishut Rabim. About Rishut Rabim, Rishut Yachid, go Shchichei Rabim. When he's cutting Rishut Rabim, he does damage to Rishut Yachid. All right, somebody's back at the room. People are there occasionally. They're not always there. You have to think about it. Emelo. V'itan Rishut Rabim Rishut Yachid. If I was saying about Rishut Rabim Rishut Yachid, Mishum Dimi Karos Lo Rishut Rabim. What right do you have to chop wood in Rishut Rabim? So now we're going to hold you culpable when you do damage even Rishut Yachid. Avam Rishut Yachid Rishut Rabim to Rishut Rabim in your own property, cutting your own wood, maybe you'll be put door if it flies down to Rishut Rabim. Emelo. So therefore we have both cases to teach you. Both that when you have no permission, or you should have been aware that there's Rabim out there, both of those will make you accountable, culpable for the damage. V'itana ha'af tarti, had they written only those two cases, ha'mishum d'shchichi rabim, ha'mishum d'shlo b'rishut. Either one of those is sufficient by itself to make you chayav, is one that you're doing without permission, or shchichi rabim, that there are people there that you should have precaution for. V'amishut yachid, shut yachid acher, when you're standing your own property, it does damage to another property, then, Delo shchichei rabim. Number one is there's not a lot of people in the other backyard. Umikar b'shut, and you're cutting wood in your own backyard, which you have permission to do. Emelo. In that case, no. Tricha mishnah says nevertheless you are accountable, even in the case where you're chopping in your own property and you damage in a place where there are a lot of people, that you are chayav in that case. Tarabanan. Hachnichnas b'chanuto shel nagar. Someone walks into the store of a nagar, a carpenter. Shelo b'shut. That goes in without permission. Vinitza b'k'at. Right? That a piece of wood shoots out. V'tapcha panav. It hits him in the face. The gift that we have here is umate patur. That he dies in patur. Tosfos eliminates the word mate because we're going to see in a second. The Gemara seems to be talking about nitzakin. That he got damaged. So he can't. He's dead. There's no damage to talk about. Right? Patur. V'im michnas b'shut. If he has permission to be in the store, then he's chayav. Then the carpenter's chayav. My chayav. What does it mean that he's chayav over here when he walks in? Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Bachanina, chayav bedalid divarim upatur migalut. He's chayav in the four additional issues that come with nizakin because again he is a right. He is pshia, right? He is some sort of posheya here because he should have been aware that this individual is coming in because he has permission to be there. The fact that he should have been aware of it. Right, then that means that he's chayav not only for the nezek but also for the dal dvarim. Boshet he is patur because the only time you pay boshet is when you intend to do damage. Here he didn't intend to do damage. Upatur migalut vishen dom liyar. Patur migalut because it's not like a forest. Yar zel rishuto nechnas zel rishuto nechnas. Those instances of the forest, both of them walk into their own place. Zel rishut chavero nechnas. Over here, you're walking into your friend's store. So Rabba says kavachomer. What do you mean? It's kavachomer. Bach changed the gears to Amarabo. Kavachomer, my yard, zel dato nichnas, zel dato nichnas, nasa kamishi nichnas, dat chavero, vigolet. In a case where they both have permission to be there, and they're like, if they're going to own property, nevertheless, we sign to him as if he's in his friend's property, we hold him accountable. Zel dat chavero nichnas, lo koshkin. Case where he's walking into the store, and it's for clearly his friend's property, he should be, right, responsible. Ela Amarabo, my patur migalut. That he's wise, he patur migalut, the lot sagile migalut, it's not enough. He is a posheya over here. Right? That he is negligent. He is more negligent than a shokik. Right? It's not just an accidental. It's so, he should have been so aware of this that it's even karul the mesid. And therefore, ghost is not enough of, right, of a punishment. I know time of the Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, that explains the reasoning of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, mishum d'avilei, shokik karul the mesid. It's a shokik karul the mesid, and therefore, ghost is not sufficient for him over here. Now, So what's the case? The case where we said in the second case, he's chayav b'dal devarim, is that only a case where he sees him? So now, the Rashi over here points out that, wait a minute, no, that's not the case. The case here is that he saw him, and that in the case when we say he's patur, means that he's not patur from everything, he's patur m'dal devarim, but he's still chayav in nezek. So Rashi points out, and Tosafot says it has to be that way, right? Because it has to be a case where he saw him coming in. If he sees him coming in, then there's no way we can exempt him from nezek. That's how you have to explain what we just read here. When we read it over here, when you go shalom reshut, vinyin sabikai v'saf kal panav, and he gets damaged, in that case you are patur. Patur means from the dalad varim. You're patur from the dalad varim because he was there without permission. By nezek, you are chayav, because you saw him. If you saw him, then you're still responsible. Even when you come in shalom reshut, someone walks into your property without permission, doesn't even give you the right to go and hit him over the head with a stick. Now, you can't go do damage to him. You will be patur midat dvarim, but you're still responsible for any nezek that you do to him if you go and actively do nezek. Whereas in the second case where he sees him, plus he has permission to be there, then he not only will be chayav for nezek, he'll also be chayav for the dalet dvarim. Now with regards to galut, which I just mentioned over here, by galut, we're going to have to address that issue. We'll come back. When I finish up the Gemara today, remind me to come back to this and ask, why is it different? Why, when he comes in shalom reshut, is he really patur mi galut? Maybe that should not be the case, and we'll see that in a second here in the Gemara. All right, now, the Gemara says, Meiti Rabo, Hosik lo retua achat, umeit. There is a b'shliach basin giving malchus to an individual, and he gave him one too many. How does that go up? How you do? He goes into galut because he hit the guy and killed him. Va'achah, the shogeg car was amazed. Over here, the shogeg, the thumb was amazed. Shouldn't have him. Why? Who? The bias who gave that? The ma'itin shev echad ritzua. Should have at least considered the fact that if he whips him one too many times, he could kill him. And since that's the case, he's a shogeg car was amazed, and yet he still goes to Golos. Karni arizeh golot. I'm from Zimin Arda, the tayi v'minyono. See, right after that, that's not a problem. Over here, he made a mistake in the count. The mistake here is really a shogeg, because when he was counting the whips, right, he miscounted. And therefore, he couldn't have thought, he didn't really remember that one extra whip that was going to hurt him, because he didn't think it was an extra one. He made a mistake in the count. So, topically, Rabba b'san b'leif. Rabba, two ways to interpret this. Either Rabba hit Rav Simi on his sandal, on Rav Simi's sandal, or Rabba took his sandal and hit Rav Simi. Either way, he says, Amar lei, ata who, money? What are you talking about? Since when does the guy who's doing the whipping count? Vatan, you have a price though. Goldo shvidayanim koreh. The Goldo shvidayanim calls out the thing. Asheni moneh. The second guy said counts the whipping. The Vashlishi omer, he called. And the third dayan says hit him. And then the Shliach Bezin does the hitting. Shliach Bezin is not the one tracking the count. The one tracking the count is the dayan. Alright, exactly. The Ta'a dayan kufet. But the reason over here that there's a mistake was that the dayanim themselves made the mistake. And that's why the Shliach Bezin is the shogeg over here. Because the dayan miscounted.
Why should he be the shogeg over there? He's following the directions of the dayan.
Right. So I think that maybe he's supposed to also keep accounts over here. I guess that that's part of the tekek, the process, is that the dayan counts. Nevertheless, the shliach basin should also be tracking himself. I guess that's what you have to say, right, in order to make it into a shogeg. That's like what you're saying, Shol. How does he know? He has no idea that he's hitting him, that he should be held accountable here. All right, Meitzvei. As a rake to Evan the Rishut Rabim, Barak. Someone throws a rock into the Rishut Rabim and it kills someone. Or is it Golet? Goes into Golet. Ha'ach, how the Shogeg carved the Mazer too? This is a case. I mean, what's your expectation? You throw a rock, you're standing on a bridge over a highway, throws a rock onto the highway, kills someone. Of course. I mean, there are cars there all the time. Of course you're going to be held accountable. That's the car of the Mazer. The Suke Adati, Rishut Rabim, Shri Chaimche. I mean, what's your assumption? I couldn't see what was down there. You can assume that Rishut Rabim, they're people. That's a general assumption. Right, so Gemara says, Brother Yune, the sot there, so what's the case here? No, okay. Tani Erez and Golot. Amar of Shmuel Ba'yitzchak, the sot there closed off. Right, so again, he's breaking his wall down. Now he threw a stone over, but he's breaking his wall down and it falls into the Shudra Rabin. So Gemara says, Yune. Again, he should have checked it out because if he's breaking his wall down, he has to check that, you know, cordon off the area, make sure that nothing falls on people. Says, the sot there, Belila, doing that night, said he didn't expect anybody to be there. Belila, Nami, Belila, Yune. Just because it's night and there aren't as many people, still means you have to look out and make sure that there's nobody there before you knock your wall down. So it says, the sotar is called Loba Yom Lashpat, that he destroys his wall into a garbage dump or into a, you know, a place where people use it as a outhouse. So Hayash Kwayim Kedam, what's the case? Idish Shrichi Rabim, if people normally come and use this area for their needs, then he's a mezihu, because he should have thought about it. If people don't usually use it, it's like a defunct outhouse where people come on rare occasion, then he's an onusu, because there's no reason he should have expected somebody to be there. It's a case where this ashpa, people come at night to use it, meaning say that it has exposure. People can see into it. So at night, where there's no light, people come there and use it as an outhouse. During the day, where it's exposed, they don't come during the day. So where it says, Be'ika, the mikre biyotif, that there's some people who are under pressure or an emergency, they need a bathroom, so they go and sit there. So he's not amazed because people don't generally come here during the day, so you didn't have to think of it. Onus it's not a total onus because there are times where people are under duress and they have to go to the bathroom in that place. They have to at least consider that possibility. In fact, they didn't make them into a shogeg. Papa the name of Rava says no, that they put the position of that qualification he puts on the ratio on the first half of the verse that we just said. Person goes into the store of a carpenter, hits him in the face, and then he is patur. Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina chayav arba dvarim. Upatur migalut. When we say patur, it means patur migalut, not patur minizikin. He's chayav even in the dalat dvarim. Man demati lo atzeif kosh kena ratio. The one who says he's putter from Golos in the second half of that Brisa certainly is putter in the first half of the Brisa. Man Madhla Resha, the one who says that he's putter from Golos in the Resha, Vasefe is going to be Chayav in Golos. Why? Even the Bershut, since the guy came in with permission, Chayav the Galut, then he's responsible to go into Galut because he should have at least paid attention to the fact that the guy entered. Umi Chayav Galut. Is he really Chayav Galut? Vatanya. We have a Brisa because he says, Anichnas Chanuto Shal Nafach. Person goes into the store of a blacksmith, and sparks go flying out, and hit him in the face, and he dies. Patur, even if he goes in with permission, the blacksmith is still patur. So over here, going with permission shouldn't change his culpability or his need to go into galut. There's also in his kina, the shuya the napkei, the carpenter's apprentice. It says shuya the napkei, the mikvah kai. Just because you're the apprentice of the blacksmith means that you're marked for death? I mean, why does that give the blacksmith permission not to be take precautions? So that's Rabbi Mitzarevo, let's say, the master blacksmith says, get out, you need to leave. Vainu Yosin, he doesn't go out. Just because you're pushing him to leave, that means he must leave, and therefore you don't have to take precautions? Right. They can kill him? Why should you be able to kill him? He thought that he left. I mean, they told him you must leave, and then he thinks that he must have left. So in that case, someone else also enters the blacksmith store, we should say the same thing. He says, someone else does not have the fear of the master upon him. Therefore, he may not leave. He may not listen right away to the person. Here he has the fear of his master upon him. Since the master assumes, when he said to the apprentice, leave, he assumes that those instructions were carried out, because the apprentice is afraid of the master, therefore he's going to listen to him right away and leave. And therefore when he continues to work, he's a shogeg. Again, he's a shogeg because, at least from, right there, he's putter in this case, right, because he shouldn't have considered that the guy was here. He told him to leave, the expectations are that he left already, and therefore, everything's done. On the other hand, when someone else comes in without permission, you tell him to leave, you think that he might listen, but there's a possibility that he won't listen to you. The possibility that he won't listen to makes you into a, right, a shogeg in that case. And shogeg, you will go into galut in that case. Now, right, going back to the case we had before, our case before, Tosfos asked the question, wait, before we said that if you enter Bershut, right, that we said that you are chayav for the nezakin, right, and you are patur from galut, implying that if you went in without permission, right, that you wouldn't be chayav. And over here, right, we see over here that when you go in without permission, right, nevertheless, the person is chayav in galut. The blacksmith here, when you came in without permission, and he told you to leave, right, nevertheless, he's chayav now if he's going to galut, if he kills you. Yet in the case before we said, when he came in with rishut, then he's patur from galut. But he didn't come in with rishut, it implies that he'd be patur from galut. So that says, why? Why is that? Because if he sees the guy coming in, let's say, what's the case over here? The case was that he saw him coming in, and he didn't have permission. So he continues to work, and that guy, the carpenter, continues to work. He kills him. Then why is that any different than our case by the blacksmith? Blacksmith knew that he came in, right? He was for sure he came in, told him to leave, and nevertheless, he held accountable for something that happened to him, even though he was there without permission. So it says, Tosa says over here, near the Riva, right, that it has to be a case here that is different. That over here in the case, by our case of the blacksmith, right, that is the case, our case over here, Shetchilat Nisato Birshut, right, that he had permission to come in originally. The Ficha Ba'akra Yishalachu Shemla Yotzei, right, Damit Be'liya. So over here, the guy originally by the blacksmith has permission to come in, and then the guy tells him to leave. Now he's lost permission. So when he's lost permission, then he has to consider the fact that since he entered originally with permission, that he won't leave so fast. On the other hand, in our case over here, where he never had permission to enter, and he enters without permission, in that case, he doesn't have to consider that there's somebody in the store. I mean, that the cases are both cases that when he doesn't see who entered, So if he doesn't see who entered, why should he be held accountable? Well, that depends. In the case by the Nagdar, by the carpenter, where he enters without permission, then, what? The carpenter doesn't have any reason to believe that someone is in his store. And therefore, he is Patur Migalut. On the other hand, the blacksmith, when he's working over there, the guy originally entered with permission. Then he tells him to leave. In that case, even though he doesn't see him anymore, he has to assume that because the guy entered with permission, he's not going to leave so fast. And therefore, you will be Chayav, you will go into Galut in that case, because you should consider the fact that the guy might still be in there. Again, both cases where he's Lora'ah. Rashi thinks that the case here is where he saw him. Doesn't have a problem with that. If you saw him there, seeing him doesn't make you, what? Doesn't make you Patur. If you see somebody, even though they're without permission, you are Chayav. And we see that from our case by the blacksmith. Even though you told him to leave, and he no longer knows that he's there, whether he is or isn't there, he's still held accountable. So just being there without permission is not necessarily a reason to be Patur from Galut. Right, the last thing we'll do here, which is to Rav Zvid, Mishmet Rava, Ma'in La'ha. Rav Zvid says that this whole case of Rav Yosef Hanina is in a totally different case. Umasa prata matziyat mo. Case of Galut says that he has to matza, that he finds his friend. Prata matziyat mo, mikan amar Rav Elezim ben Yaakov, mishi yatsa evan mitakad yado. Someone's stone goes flying out of his hand, so the ally will show. The other guy sticks his head out. And when the guy threw the stone, there was nothing in the path of that stone. So the other guy sticks his head out, v'kibla patur, and then it hits him, he's patur, because that'd be matzah. That when he threw the stone, it had the ability to hit that which was there. The other guy makes it possible afterwards, then he's patur. Alright, Yosef Benina, patur mi galut. When we say patur, that's from galut. Chayev barbaz brain, but he's still chayev nezek and everything else associated with nezek. Now, the man, the matzah law, aha, the one who says the statement of Yosef Benina in this case, kosh kena kamaisa, and certainly on the other cases. But the ones who say in the other cases, right, they say that he's chayev, aha, patur the gamre. Over here, he's patur the gamre. Because this case is, what? This is a case which is totally, right, totally out of the ordinary. The case where he goes into the chanut of the Nagar, and he sees him, according to Rashi, right, then he should have been more careful. Right, according to Tosfos, even if he doesn't see him, but he's there for reshut, right, then also he should be held accountable, because the person should have considered that they would be there. In our case of here, he has no ability to consider that the guy's going to stick his head out when he throws the rock.
Therefore, if in this case you say that he's patur, meaning patur migalut and chayav arba dvarim, then certainly in the other two cases before that we brought down at the beginning of the Gemara about the nichnas chanutolish and nalgar, both the Rish and Seifa, there you certainly will be chayav in the arba dvarim, because there's more reason to be chayav in the arba dvarim.
Yeah, so the one who says he's patur in the other cases, avalha, patur the gamri. Over here, he'd be patur not only for galut, but even for nezek. Because over there, you're chayav in the nezek, because at least you should have had some consideration, or that the guy walked in, or you saw him, you're chayav in the nezek. But over here, he had no reason to believe there was going to be anybody in the way. And when he threw, he had no intention to do damage. Therefore, he would be patur legamre. And this is different than the case we had earlier. We had a case earlier in the Gemara when you throw something out of the roof and there are mattresses down below, and then a guy pulls the mattresses away, right, that you are patur from nezek. How come over here, it fits suggesting that when the guy sticks his head out, that you're chayav for the nezek? He says it's a different case. Right, there, he says, by the case of the mattresses, there's no reason to believe that the circumstance is going to change. In our case over here, he has to at least consider that somebody might come between him and the trajectory of his rock. When he throws it, people change, circumstances change. And that he has to at least consider the guy who figures that out. Now, my galus will be put to because it says we have a kutub of matzah and lo mamsi. But by nezek, he has to at least consider that the guy, some circumstance might change and get hit by his rock. Okay, we'll stop over here.